You're listening to Podketeers.
Welcome to episode 514 of Podketeers. This week we talk about getting ready to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, new vinyl, levels of swiftiness, Dreamlight Valley is adding two new characters, Dick Van Dyke sets a new record, It's a Small World might be getting new lyrics, and we get a new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. If you want to see the trailer, we posted it in the blog post for this episode, podketeers.com/514. Keep in mind, it is not child-friendly. We'd love for you to join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, or YouTube, but we would love for you to join us on Discord. Joining the community is super simple. Just head on over to podketeers.com/links and click on the Discord button to join our community. Before we get into the episode, we would like to take a moment to thank a very special group of listeners known as the FGP Squad, our podcast fairy godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that helped make these episodes of Podketeers possible. As part of the FGP Squad family, you get some additional perks, like exclusive discount codes for Podketeers gear, additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, access to our happy hour calls when we get an opportunity to do those, giveaways, and more. For more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to check out podketeers.com/FGP. And of course, a super special thank you goes out to the FGP Squad for their continued support. So that's going to wrap this intro up. If this is your first time hanging out with us, welcome. We hope that you enjoy the episode and that you come back for more. And of course, if you've been hanging with us for a while now, welcome back, friends. Here is episode 514 of Podketeers.
We don't need to start with an anthem.
You know what's funny? Whenever we're when we're chatting and we transition into going into the podcast, sometimes we're talking about music stuff. Sometimes, you know, we're mimicking the songs or whatever, like you just did right now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we're recording, I never take into consideration that technically, in the audio version of the podcast, we're easing in with music, because we've got the podcast theme song going on. And here on YouTube, it doesn't matter, or on YouTube in video format, but with the audio version, it always overlaps. And I always have to figure out how far back do I want to include in our conversation, you know, so that we get the entire joke in there or something.
We'll start it right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Right?
Boom. We already included it. Boom.
Heart start. I added more vinyl to my collection this week.
Do you show vinyl?
Well, since the last. Oh, vinyl. I miss Vinylmation.
I got one. I got a Vinylmation in arm's reach, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Which one?
Here's how about.
Oh, I dropped whatever I had.
How about Big Ol' Mara? Melissa's probably got Big Ol' Mara, too. I think we bought this at the same time. There he is.
Mine are currently boxed up because obviously I don't have much space here anymore. But I have only two, believe it or not. I have,
really?
Yeah, I got the one from when Cars Land opened, the one that they sold exclusively at Cars Land. And then I wasn't able to purchase this when it was in the parks. I had to buy it on eBay, so I bought it for a little bit of a markup. But it's the Vinylmation with the Main Street Magic Shop, overlay on it. I love that Vinylmation. I had it on display for a while, and then I had a couple of the white Vinylmations, the standard ones that they had that... Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were, supposed to paint them yourself or do something creative with them.
The blank ones?
The blank ones, yeah. But I had a couple of the blank ones, too.
I also have, here's Big Roger Rabbit. There he is.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Here's Aladdin, a Musical Spectacular Genie.
Aww.
His little top hat. And here's Sala.
Nice.
So there's my Vinylmation. I guess I'll just put these back on the shelf.
Nice. Yeah, regretfully, no, I'm not talking about Vinylmation. I'm talking about regular vinyl.
Music vinyl.
Yeah. I mean, it adds to the collection, I guess.
Can I guess the album?
Yes.
Abbey Road. Is that an album? That's an album.
It's an
album. White album.
Yeah.
The black album.
It is a white album.
The chocolate flavored starfish and
that's Limp Bizkit. No, that's not. I wouldn't even buy that for you.
I don't want it.
So white elephant. There you go.
The soundtrack to the Apple Dumpling Gang.
You got it.
Yay!
That's exactly what it is. The Apple Dumpling Gang soundtrack. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. There's Don Knotts in a bikini.
No, I it Don Knotts in a. Oh my goodness. This.
Not a lot of people are gonna understand that.
This jumped into PG-13 so quickly. No, I mean I had to add the album, right? Like it's
yeah.
Taylor released a new album. There were so many variants of it. And
really?
It's funny because the people at work that know that I'm a Taylor Swift fan, the very first question they asked me, like right after the album was released last Friday, was, okay, how many did you buy? What are you talking about? They're like, how many did you buy? Like, how many of what did I buy? They're like, how many of the variants of Taylor's new album did you buy? I was like, one. Like, why do I need 80 of them? Like,
because you're a collector, man. They know you're a collector, man.
Yes, but yeah. I don't collect vinyl in that manner. Like, I own vinyl, like, for the music purpose of it, right? Like, I collect cards. I collect other things. But vinyl is not – I don't have the space to house all the vinyl, right? And it's very particular about how you store it. So with the vinyl, I'm very selective as far as what I own. Unless it's a gift, then I can't really, you know, say much about it. But as far as what I purchase, I'm very, very selective about the vinyl that I get. But I opted, I almost got the one from her website, but instead I opted to get the Target one because it was called the Phantom Edition. And it's 100% clear. Like, it's like
nice.
The vinyl
basically
is clear.
See-through. Yeah. And I just thought it looked better than the other ones that were available. So I ended up getting that one. Some of the Target ones I think are nice. When I bought the 1989 Taylor's version, I ended up getting that one from her website because I liked the light blue, like the sky blue.
Okay.
And then I got like all these little paper stars. Hold on, let me see.
Chocolate flavored paper stars?
No, I got a bunch of these little paper stars when I got my album, so.
Like they came in the envelope or something?
No, like when you open up the box of the vinyl, like all these little paper blue stars were falling out of the package as part of
cute.
Like the packaging thing. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I almost bought the Target version of that one because it's like a tangerine green. A tangerine, like an orange color. Green. Where did I get that from?
Tangerine as dream. That's what you're trying.
Maybe. My brain isn't braining right now for some reason. But yeah, I ended up going with the blue one. I really like that one. So, yeah, this one's out. We were talking about it before, and Mel, you were right. The claws are out. Like, this is just like, I talk about diss tracks in the most poetic way possible.
Right. And then I remember when I text you guys, because I was like, I think the best way to describe it. Like, you know how I told you, excuse me, how it was kind of like I was looking through a snow globe, but basically it was, I was at the right place at the right time when this happened, like when she dropped and she joined threads and all that stuff. It just, honestly, I felt like, because a lot of people that I follow were chiming in and this and that, this and that. And I like kept seeing where replies. People were freaking out that, you know, she had dropped music, that she had joined, and I was like, this is wild. This felt weird. Like, I did follow for a little bit. I'm like, wait a minute, no, I'm gonna take a step back because this isn't like I have nothing against her or nothing. It's just not my cup of tea, but it was just like the energy of her post was just, I don't know how to describe it. Like, that's why I was like, I need to step back because this is a world that I can't fit into. It's more like, it's like either you're in it or you're just on the outside. And I was more on the outside, but it was bonkers. So I'm like, as I sent you the picture too, I'm like, dude, look at this. Yeah. This it was crazy.
It is crazy. And, you know, it's funny because at work, like, I know more about Taylor than most people my age because I keep up with the music and
it's because you're young. I keep you're up just with young. It. It's because you're
yeah,
young.
Yeah, I mean, apparently, yeah, my hair on my chin apparently says that. But so at work, like, people call me a Swiftie. And I'm honestly not a Swiftie because I'm not as big a Taylor Swift fan as most people are. I've joked about it. I've called myself a Swiftie.
Debatable.
But by definition, by definition, I'm not a Swiftie because I just told you that I only bought one copy of this album.
That is
whereas
true.
Hardcore Swifties would have bought every variant available on vinyl, on CD, on cassette, you know, on MP3, whatever's available.
All right.
That's the culture. That's how Taylor gets these massive record sales or album sales when she first releases something. So by definition, I don't think I'm a Swiftie.
Hold on a second, Hazen. Here, I want your answer on this, and I want the audience to chime in here.
Sure.
How many different locations of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour did you watch on YouTube? How many different concerts did you watch on YouTube?
What else do we have to talk about?
It was all of them.
Let me check the list.
It was all of them.
Let me.
The answer is yes.
Hazen watched them live as we were recording the show.
I did.
That is true. That was fun though.
I was. I remember holding up the iPad to show them that I was
watching.
And Hazen
goes, "Oh, she just announced that she's doing the something Taylor's version."
Okay,
oh,
okay.
We're recording. Okay, Mr. Swiftie.
All right. Again, I will agree to the fact that, again, I feel like I know more than the average person about Taylor Swift and her career and her music and everything.
Did you or did you do not make a PowerPoint presentation at work that was based on Taylor Swift?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, you know what? I give up. You're right. Maybe I'm a harder Swiftie than I thought I was. But yes, I did make a team PowerPoint presentation based on Taylor Swift. It was called Our Department's Name, Taylor's Version. And it was very heavily inspired by Speak Now.
I don't think you need to feel ashamed being a Swiftie.
Oh, I'm not ashamed of it.
I just think you need to embrace it.
No, no. I mean, again, here's the thing. I don't want a hardcore, like a real true Swiftie to listen to this and be like, "You're not a Swiftie," and like attack me for it or attack us or anything, right? Because they are very passionate fans, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't want to claim I'm something I'm not. Am I a bigger fan than most people? Absolutely. Am I like 100% Swiftie? No, because I also don't have the little bracelets and all that other stuff that comes along with it. But do I know more than the average fan? Absolutely. Am I like somewhere between casual fan and Swiftie? Yeah, I think I fall somewhere in the middle there. Because obviously I get caught up in all the stuff that's happening because I want to decipher the songs too. So have I landed on Swift talk at times? Absolutely. Because I want to know what the song is about. I want to know who she's talking about. I want to know what all the chisme is about when it comes to her music. So yeah, do I know more? Of course.
All right, folks, just go on to Discord or on to Instagram on this or YouTube on this post. Just comment if you think Hazen is a Swiftie. I just want to see if I'm in the minority here or what. So just let us know.
And if you know what a Swiftie is, keep in mind how hardcore Swifties roll for Taylor.
Which is why I had to step back and not be in that world.
So we are going to transition to some other stuff.
Or you mean we're talking about the whole episode?
We're not going to go song by song.
Have
to go listen to it on this. No,
Black
it was
Dog
great, man. I was
Lil,
listen
ki- like
was
Kim's
I waiting
store?
For the
release?
No, there's a lot to talk about. There is.
Okay.
There's a lot of literary references in it. She references like Frankenstein and A Tale of Two Cities, and not directly, but there's like
Aesop's
anyway.
Fable and
no, not Aesop's Fables. I'm like choking on my spit over here.
Please don't die.
I know.
Both of you, because both of you are just coughing.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest about the album. Was I waiting for it? Yeah, a little bit. I had a countdown going and everything. I was talking to my sister about it, my sister-in-law. Like, we were like, you know, like, hey, go back, and the countdown's almost over. Heard the entire album, and then, like, a few hours later, boom, surprise, there was another half to it. So there was, like, 31 songs total, not the ones we originally... It was a whole thing. Anyway, I'm not helping my argument here, am I? So let's just transition.
We were the things and doing all the stuff and things, and then we think.
Wait a second.
And singing all the stuff.
I thought you said you weren't a fan. That's like the exact lyrics to the song.
Hey, it's me and you.
Those are the exact lyrics. How are you not a Swiftie yourself?
Old town, and then a tough. And something got me down. I could write a Taylor Swift song. What are you talking about?
You want to hear something crazy? So a few weeks ago, I guess it was leaked that Taylor was going to have a song on this album with Post Malone. And people were going kind of like crazy about it. Like, they're like, oh, that's going to be a really cool song. It's going to be a really cool song. And an AI song dropped with like a 5 to 10 second clip of what sounds like Taylor and Post Malone singing this like really upbeat, like, it sounds really good actually. Some people are like, how could you think that Taylor would sound like that? It's like, it actually sounds pretty decent for a pop song. And people thought it was a leak of the Post Malone Taylor song, and it sounds almost nothing like it. It's the song that they put out on the album is a lot more somber, obviously, to go along with the theme of the album. But I am among the people that actually want the version of AI to be released as a full song, because it was like kind of a bop, really. So I want it. But it's funny that you mentioned anybody could write the Taylor Swift song, because apparently this AI did it, and it did a pretty decent job, in my opinion. So anyway, let's move on from Taylor Talk. Next week on Taylor Talk, we'll talk about the Black Dog. Dun-dun-dun. Anyway, a couple things I wanted to bring up. So we are preparing for the 10th anniversary of the podcast, and that is happening in June of this year. So we've been working on some new stickers, some new graphics, some new t-shirts and everything. By the way, t-shirt Foolish Mortal available on the website. Oh, I just realized that I'm matching my Disney adult hat and my Foolish Mortal shirt today. Nice.
Very nice. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Available, podcasters.com/gear if you're interested. But there's going to be a new shirt with the 10th anniversary logo. We're working on some buttons. This sticker here, as a matter of fact, on my microphone, was one of the buttons. Let me raise this a little bit. That was one of the original buttons we created. It was like those 3-inch buttons to mimic like the I'm celebrating buttons at Disneyland. And this... For this anniversary, we decided we wanted to make our own buttons. And so I've been making buttons to test things out. So let me show you some of them. This is like the first look at some of the buttons we're playing around with, because not only will we have the 10th anniversary buttons, but we're going to have a variety of buttons that we will use as giveaway stuff. Also, some stuff that we're going to use for Team Boat Willie and Team Boat Willie events going forward as well. So more on that is coming, but I'll show you some of the Team Boat Willie ones first. We got a standard Team Boat Willie logo.
Nice.
Again, these are all handmade by someone on the team. Right now, it's just me. But people on our team will actually be making these.
They're
with
called
love.
Bespoke buttons.
Yes, with love to hand out. A lot of you know that one of the things that we support on a yearly basis is women's cancer research. And so we have these Team Boat Willie logos, buttons with the pink ribbon this year because of what's been happening and my experiences. We're doing a long COVID support button. This, you can tell, is where I was still learning about the whole button process because I accidentally cut off the words. We have the brand new autism awareness button. This was something that we recently decided is going to be a part of Team Boat Willie going forward. Some of the fun buttons. Actually, I'll end with this one because this one's been one of the coolest ones, in my opinion. This was just kind of a fun one. Taking the Dole Whip and just throwing it up on a button.
Yeah.
We had the marquee that we had created, right? And then this one, obviously, is one of my favorite ones so far.
Yeah. Shiny.
It's so cool. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, like the other side of the pillow, cool cat and kitten.
Cool cats and kittens.
So, yeah, so we're going to have all these buttons going forward. Oh, that's the anniversary logo. I'm not showing that yet.
Ooh,
actually, the FGP squad got the first look at what the anniversary logo is going to look like over on Discord. So, FGP squad, check it out. I posted it in the channel earlier today if you want to take a look at it. So, more on that. Some of those we're just going to send out to people. We're going to have them available as little giveaway packs along with some stickers with the anniversary logo. I'm planning again on doing some t-shirts. We're going to be doing, I don't know, we're still planning a bunch of that stuff, but the anniversary is coming up really quickly at this point. So expect to hear more about it soon. This button thing has just been fun, to be honest. And I know that by the time we get to, let's say, the anniversary, I'm planning to have 5 or 6 different designs, including I might make an updated version of this one, excuse me, the I'm listening button. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it exactly the same because I did find the 4 that I was talking about that I still had from the original pressing of that one. And I kind of want to keep true to that. So if anybody that has one, they can say they own one of the original Podketeers buttons.
Ooh.
And if I remake it, I might change the color. I might change the design. I might keep it very similar to the Disneyland style.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to change something so that it distinguishes from like V1 and V2. You know, so anyway, more on that. We'll be talking about it more, obviously, as more stuff comes up. But yeah. Pretty excited about that and the anniversary, obviously. Let's see. Oh, we got some news about the next act in Disney Dreamlight Valley. I was pretty excited because we got this image over on the Instagramios. It was obviously a teaser for... What do we think? Who is this a teaser for?
Let's see. Big ol' phone.
Zach Morris.
Chunky bracelet. Zach Morris. It could be somebody else from Saved by the Bell.
Maybe. Mr. Belding.
Yes.
Yes, it's Mr. Belding.
The eyeshadow.
Eyeshadow.
Spot on, right?
Spot on.
Eyelashes spot on.
Oh, yeah. Stylish, too.
I think so.
Maybe it's Mimi from the Drew Carey Show.
That
look at
that fantastic
eyeliner.
That's a good
it
guess.
It does look like Cleveland Rock, so maybe.
Sporting a different eyeshadow color, but sure.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Mimi had purple once.
All the time.
Blue,
sometimes,
purple.
Most of the time it's
green,
blue.
Purple, blue.
Mimi Drew Carey Show.
So, anyway. This looks like it is coming in the next act. Act 2 is dropping next week. I'm pretty excited. This goes along with the announcement of that little storefront that we talked about a couple episodes back with the Touch of Magic clothing that you can create, that you're going to be able to like exchange it with friends and other people that visit your valley. Again, it's very similar to the way that Animal Crossing, at least the way that it's been presented so far, feels like it's very Animal Crossing with the Able Sisters, as far as you can submit your own stuff. But obviously, we could tell who this is, right? Andrew guessed it earlier. It's Clarabelle Cow.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The fashion.
Obviously, the icon.
Right. The icon Clarabelle Cow. We even took our turn at talking about it on their Instagram, so I thought that was pretty fun. We made our prediction. I hope you're right. And that wasn't really the biggest thing in this announcement, though, because this kind of dropped around the same time as the second trailer for Act 2, which I think is much better than all of this. Let's switch over to that because, oh man, this was exciting. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I think so.
Have you seen this?
I can't remember.
So, in the words of Triple H, let's talk for something again. Are you ready? No. I said, are you ready?
Is there an answer to that? Yes?
I mean, I'm just going to play it after this. Oh, okay. The answer was pretty much yeah.
Okay, got it.
I don't expect you to, like, yell yeah like the crowd in an arena. Because
I see.
Okay. I'm just going to play the video.
Just play it. It's just fine. Is there like a cruise ship on the land back there? What's going on over there?
Oh, you'll see.
What is that? Spaceship? What is that?
That's cool.
And a very lucky rabbit. Music, Oswald is coming to Dreamlight Valley.
Okay, hey. But what's that spaceship?
What spaceship?
It's not a spaceship. It's it's just like a
right there,
the doors?
Behind that tree.
This back here?
No, that behind the tree.
This right here?
No, the tree.
What tree?
No, tree.
This? No, you. Okay, see the diamond thing that you were pointing at.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, that thing.
Oh, that's Steve's spaceship.
Yeah.
So it is a spaceship. Okay.
Yeah. Here's.
I don't have this expansion. So
Okay. So this is Eve right here.
Yeah, I understand who Eve is.
And then here's Eve's ship.
Gotcha.
This is whoever's playing.
Uh huh.
This is Punzi.
Okay.
This is a hidden Mickey.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is a tree.
Ah, tree.
And then this is a big locked pathway that apparently is going to unlock in the game as part of Act 2.
And Oswald's going to be in there.
But more importantly, let's talk about how the journey continues with a very lucky rabbit. That's
Oswald.
That guy.
He's all like, yeah. He's all like 2D looking too. It's fun.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
It's like Cuphead.
I really like that. Look at the music in the back.
And black and white too. He doesn't have blue. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm assuming that this back here is going to be some kind of puzzle that you have to solve in order to open up a door or something or get this panel to open if you place these properly.
It's going
to
be like probably the Jade Monkey or whatever. What is that?
Something
from,
like that.
From the what's that show? I don't know. Ignore me. Never mind.
I know what you're talking about, though.
The Stone Monkey, Stone Monkey from the
Temple of the...
Yeah, that thing. Whatever.
It was the Nickelodeon thing.
Yes.
Like that. And then there's a monkey and they
it
can never
like
put it together.
Course.
Yeah. But
yeah,
I think it's more going to be
Curse
you're going to have
the jade monkey, I don't know.
You're going to have to put them on the so you see the clef there and then there's the the lines you're going to have to put them to like make a tune probably.
Yeah. And we've had stuff like this before where you have to place things on pedestals and it's a little puzzle and everything. So I'm assuming that's going to be a part of it. But yeah, the fact that Oswald is kind of 2D looking, there is a portion where if he turns around, he is in 3D. It's just the shaders that they used for him that look 2D. And I just think that's a pretty cool way to show him off in the game. So I'm excited. Obviously, I don't know what role he's going to play yet. It says coming soon. I'm pretty certain that it means next week. But a whole new portion.
Is that
portion...
when the end of that thing is? Did that
the end of
yet?
What thing?
The end of
the
free? Monster University thing.
I think that ended this week. Like the week that we're recording this
episode, last week.
I think it ended. Oh, it ended already.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I just had a bunch of stuff sitting there, so...
Oh, you
good
should
job,
redeem
me.
It before it goes away.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see what
I
happens.
Hope you can still redeem it.
If not, whatever. It's my own fault. I like to do this game where I forget to close the game. I'm going to open my Switch right now. I like to
how many minutes
not save and see how many minutes it's been.
Continuous minutes, 4,980.
Let's see. Oh, I have to hit
That's
this.
Funny.
So yeah, 25,014 minutes.
Boom,
and
there you go.
That since my last save game,
that's horrible. You should do that. You should save it, upload it to the cloud, make sure you have a backup and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just
save.
In case.
25,000. That's a lot.
It is a lot. Mel, are you done? You finished the star path and everything, right? You're caught up.
I didn't quite finish it, but I got like the majority of what I wanted.
Cool. And yeah. And you unlocked Mike and Sully already?
Yeah. And I got the doubles. I mean, the nice. Them with their shirt. Their...
Ignore me. I'm just going to look through this.
The Letterman jackets. The...
Yeah. Those are cool.
They're cute.
I like the look. Yeah. I have to admit that of all of the houses that they have in Dreamlight Valley, I really like Mike and Sully's apartment the most. Like, the way that it's just decorated inside to look like the little college dorm room. The building looks really nice. Like, I don't know. Of all of them, it's probably one of my favorite houses in the entire game.
Plus, there's stuff, like, everything Monsters is really cool.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, they added a lot of really cool things as part of that one.
Oh, I didn't get my
So we're going to let Andrew keep playing and figure out what he can and can't
redeem. I have 50 things left, and I got to figure out what to spend it on. Sully is 100, so I can't get him. And Mike's on the last album, so I can't get that. So I don't know. We're going to look through this. You guys keep talking. I'm going to look through this.
Okay.
It says I have 7 hours until I can't do this anymore, and they're just gone forever.
Oh,
so it's a good thing I opened this.
Yeah, okay, well, handle your thing. Mel and I will keep talking while you do that.
I think I'm going to buy the Celia hair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Celia hair is cool looking.
Because I don't have that, and all the rest, most of the things are motifs, and I don't need...
Yeah, and a lot of it is,
no, I lied.
Stuff.
I'm buying the vending machine.
Oh, I like the vending machine, too.
I like that.
You know what I got in Scrooge's shop yesterday? I got one of the racks with the laugh tanks from the scare floor.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was available in Scrooge's shop. I was pretty excited when I saw it. So, yeah, that expansion is, or Act 2 of the expansion is supposed to be coming out next week. So if you already own A Rift in Time, it's going to be a free update. If you don't own A Rift in Time yet, when you get it, both parts will be available to you. And then part 3 is supposed to release in the summer. So this was an expansion that lasted like a good 8 months. And each act, so like the first act, I mean, it took me about a month of playing kind of sparingly to complete it. But there was a lot more to explore, obviously, because there was the new dynamics in the game. You had the mist that you had to collect, which is totally different from regular Dreamlight Valley. But just enjoying the new sights of the game as well, I think, was worth it for me, I think, because it basically gave you a whole second Dreamlight Valley to explore as part of the game. And as far as I can tell, for this expansion that's coming, they have that big temple that is currently blocked off by, like, water. There's a broken bridge, and it's just kind of water next to Eve's ship. If you walk over to that area, you can see that there's stairs leading down into what looks like the temple. But then there's another area over on the opposite side of Ancient's Landing, where if you go into one of the alcoves, where it looks, I believe it's on the same level where one of the crafting tables is for the ancient parts. There's a section over to the right-hand side of that where there's the door that you came through, like the tunnel that you came through. But if you go off to the right, it looks like there's another tunnel that's blocked off by rocks. It looks like something caved in on that side. So I'm wondering if that's going to be available in Act 3 or as part of Act 2. Ooh. So that's one thing. That's something that I started trying to keep track of as I played longer, because we still don't know what the mystery of Skull Rock is. Mm-mm. At some point, we're going to know what, you know, is there. And we know something is there, because when the first portion, like chapter 1 ended with the forgetting, Merlin had talked about how there's a mystery of Skull Rock and how when you were there before, something happened. So I don't know if it's going to be like Tinkerbell, Peter Pan, what's going on, but... You know, hopefully we get an answer to that soon.
Maybe that's where Daisy came from. I mean, our mystery.
Oh, maybe.
Oh.
I always thought, you know how a Donald's ship is called the SS Daisy. But you know how it's got the mast? Is it a mast? What is that called? The mast?
It has, no, it's the, The mast is the thing that is the...
Oh, that's
the,
standing
the,
straight
the
up,
the mast
right?
holds the sails.
Right, right, right.
No idea.
What is that thing pointing out in the front called?
Let's see.
Googling.
Pointy part.
Ship, pointy part, front.
It's called the bow spirit. Bow spirit.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Okay. That makes sense.
Cool. Just learned something. So that... on Donald's boat in Dreamlight Valley has a carving of Daisy. So I always thought that they were going to use there's been all these like little side quests that haven't been advertised with like a golden potato and a blue potato, purple potato, and we have some of those
mashed
videos
potato.
Up on our YouTube channel if you're interested in acquiring those items yourself. But towards the end, you had some potions that I think are going to be used to unlock Daisy. Like, you cast an enchantment on the ship to release her from it or something like that. I don't know. But that maybe that's how we get her as the shop owner. Who knows?
Or maybe she's like, I've just been sleeping in Donald's boat in the bedroom in the back. Sorry. Long nap.
Maybe. Who knows? That would be funny if that was the case. So,
or they're just like, what are you talking about? Daisy's been here the whole time. And
yeah.
Just like, from
she's
the
like John Cena.
You just couldn't see her. You just missed her. She's been here the
behind
whole time.
Behind the scenes.
She's been running everything on Scrooge's shop in the back, inside the big vault. She was part of the expansion. All right. Let's see. Oh, hey, Mel, you brought up this interesting story about a Disney legend and how they recently made history. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure. Oh, hold on. My nose. a couple of days ago, I don't look for this stuff. It's just something that just pops up on my feed. And when you see, like, a beloved celebrity, a beloved legend, you're like, what's going on with this person, right? And in this case, it's Dick Van Dyke. So you're just like, what's happening? Is it okay? What's going on? Because, you know, he's up in age. And actually,
that's
this was...
putting it lightly.
Very up in age. Like, he's goals at this point. So Dick Van Dyke actually made history as becoming one of the Daytime Emmy nominees at 98 years old. 98 years old. Like, fantastic. And he was nominated for a guest appearance on Days of Our Lives. I haven't seen it. I just know this article. That's it. So I haven't seen the episode. I'm sure he was fantastic because he's great. He's great in everything. But I did learn that the oldest, I want to say nominee. Yeah, the oldest nominee before him was a producer by the name of Norman Lear. And he was 100.
So Norman Lear is the oldest
Emmy
Emmy
receipt producer.
Yeah, exactly. So he's still the oldest. It's Dick Van Dyke is the oldest. Let's see, what's the exact thing?
Nominee.
Nominee for, I think, that category, possibly.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Daytime Emmy. Norman Lear is for Primetime Emmy. So of all the Emmys categories, Norman Lear is the oldest at 100. And then Dick Van Dyke is for the Daytime Emmys the oldest. I don't know. I was trying to find while you were talking if there was who he surpassed as the oldest person.
The coolest thing is that there's a picture of him in the guest spot or in the episode. He does not look 98, and it's like,
okay, that's debatable.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, look, when you think of someone who's 98, you think of them like, not that, like,
okay,
older, but he's like, dude still has like some kick in his stuff. He's doing really well, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. A knock on wood right now.
I agree.
Yeah. He's kind of like, he reminds me a lot of how Betty White was, even mm-hmm. like before she passed, right? Like, she was just full of life. She was always joking around and just happy. Yeah. And it was, yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of videos where they've been posting a lot. Like, I don't know if it's his daughter or like one of his family members that helps him on social media, but they've been posting like videos of him. One of them was recently, I don't remember when it was, but I had seen a video of the Dapper Dans at Disneyland mm-hmm. singing songs from Mary Poppins to him. And he was mm-hmm. just like, oh, you know, like he was like all sentimental because he was remembering his time with Julie Andrews and during that film. And yeah, I mean, he looked... I guess it just depends on where you're seeing him, right? Because yeah. obviously if he's on TV, there's going to be a lot of makeup. There's going to be a really great lighting. And obviously great lighting is going to, you know, help in that situation. But yeah, I mean, as far as him as a person, he's very lively for his age. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I feel older than Dick Van Dyke. And, you know, I don't always feel as good as Dick Van Dyke looks, right? So, yeah, it was pretty fun. And I was looking at some of the other awards and nominations that he had. The last Daytime Emmy nomination that he had was for Outstanding Performer in an Animated Program on an episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse called Ooh. Mickey's Pirate Adventure.
Oh.
I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. His very first nomination was a Tony Award in 1961 for Best Featured Actor in a Musical in Bye Bye Birdie, which he won. Mm-hmm. Then he went on to win a Grammy for Best Children's Album, Mary Poppins, Outstanding Actor in a Comedy Series at Dick Van Dyke Show that same year. And then Best Actor, Motion Picture, Musical, and Comedy for Mary Poppins. And then from there, the legendary career was born.
Yeah, Bye Bye Birdie, that was a huge hit for him. He went on to play the role in the film as well. I think a lot of the Broadway people went on to the film. Paul Lind and, you know, other people on that as well. He played Albert. As the first show I ever did was Bye Bye Birdie, so I knew a little bit about that one.
That's cool. Well, congratulations, obviously, to Dick Van Dyke. These already happened, right? These awards? Like, somebody...
No, they were just announced.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, so they were announced. So we don't know who won this year in that category yet.
Nope.
All right, well, we'll keep track.
We'll be June 8th is the ceremony.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a ways away. Okay. Well, we're wishing Dick Van Dyke luck on winning this one. I think it'll be a nice little award for him to get at this age. That's cool. Let's see. You know what? I think this is a good time to thank a very special group of listeners known as the FGP Squad. Our podcast, Fairy Godparents, because it is their support via Patreon that help make these episodes of Podketeers possible. For more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to go to podketeers.com/FGP. There you will find a list of some of our top contributors, a link to our Patreon, a little information about what the FGP Squad is all about. But being a part of the FGP Squad family gets you some additional perks like access to exclusive discount codes for new Podketeers gear, a special section of Discord, access to additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, like last week's additional choices for the Disney draft when we drafted the Muppets, random giveaways, access to our happy hour calls when we get an opportunity to do those, and more. So again, any questions that you might have, please feel free to reach out to us. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. But podketeers.com/FGP is where you want to go for that information. And of course, to all of the members of the FGP squad, we just want to send a huge thank you for your continued support. All right, Andrew, what's the status so far? What have you been able to redeem and where are you in the game?
Well, I had 50 left, so I got the soda machine and like two motifs, because then I only had 10 left. I'm just opening the Monsters Inc. door now. So I just spent my, I have so many, I had over 100,000 Dreamlight just sitting here, because I mean, what else are you going to do with it, right? Like, it's just, you open doors with it.
You'll need it. Trust me. I've been making a lot of the large chests, and the large ones require 1,000 Dreamlight.
Well, I guess I can make 90 of them. No.
Yeah, I'm going to try to redo some of my storage rooms and areas. So,
well, see, you play the game differently than I do. I just kind of bop around and do whatever. I don't open it very often, and I don't go around and collect the stuff unless it tells me to. So this is why I don't have things. Yeah, I don't have all of the things, but it's okay.
But I can give them to you, because now we can go to each other's valleys and I can just go dump a bunch of stuff that you need.
There we go. We'll just do that. And then I'll just have a bunch of stuff
we
on
did
the floor. All right.
Don't
I can
forget to vote.
Oh yeah.
And get
what
your
am I voting for?
Get your moonstones.
Just give
exactly.
It said I had no, it's like cost I have to take it. It's the voting's not going yet.
Oh.
Oh, you can't vote for last week's thing anymore?
I think, hold on. Event, dream stamps, current challenge.
You should be able to vote on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Submission closes and vote starts in 7 hours.
Oh, okay.
I guess not.
Wait, this one.
I didn't know there was a turnover.
Wait, this one, Moana's Village. Here we go. I can vote.
Oh, there you go.
Vote.
Collect vote. Those moonstones.
You know how I vote? Left. Right.
Just vote. Just get
left,
your moonstones.
Right, left, right.
Until it gets to 50, and then I stop. Left.
I think it's 20. And after that is when left. It doesn't count anymore.
No, it says claimed 40, 45.
Yeah, it's like 15
50.
For each.
Oh, it's
thing?
5 per vote?
5 per vote. Done.
Oh, gotcha. Just kidding.
Left.
Right on.
Right. I'll do a couple extra. just because.
All right.
Nice.
Well, while Andrew's continuing to do that.
Left, right. I got to stop. Or I'm not going to pay attention to the show. And that's important. We're here to talk about.
Yeah, but you have like less than 7 hours. I want you to get your stuff.
I did. I only had 50 thing. Like, I'm fine. Like, I don't have anything. I'm good.
Just wait until we can give each other furniture and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to
buy
all the Monsters
and
stuff and send
it
to you.
Yeah, but you can't buy me Sully's clothes, I don't think, and send it to
you. You don't know yet.
We don't know.
Once I'm able to do that, I'm going to put it in a little leaf. And I'm going to put it in the mailbox and send it to you via Pelican. And then somebody on another island is going to give it to you or charge you way too much. And you're going to meet these little shop owners and they're going to be like, hi, how can we help you? And then you're going to say, I want to buy the Monsters, Inc. stuff that Hazen was supposed to have for me. And they're going to
they
be like,
$10
this is the wrong
dollars.
Game, guy. Guy. That's what they say. And
you've
then the other
mail.
Guy's going to come over and he's going to be like, listen, if you want to live on this island, you got to pay me lots of money. You got to do all of the work. You got to do all of the planting. You got to do all of the building. And I'm going to take credit for it.
And then you got to build me a new building.
Back. Yeah. And then every Saturday, you're going to have a concert with this guy that I like. KK Slider.
Who cares who you like? I, Tom Nook, love KK Slider.
Anywho. So you both know that I love podcasts. I love
really?
Listening to stuff while I'm working. Obviously, this is why we have this podcast, right?
Right.
And growing up, one of the shows I loved watching was Boy Meets World. And three of the personalities from Boy Meets World started a podcast where they're doing one of those rewatch podcasts where they're watching themselves on the show. It's Pod Meets World. They talk about each episode and their experience with the other actors and how things were on set and stuff like that. And Ryder Strong, Danielle Fishel, and Will Friedle are the three hosts of that podcast. And normally they have guests on their podcast, like producers and other guests that they've had on the show. And they were talking about Jeff Sherman, who was one of the producers and one of the writers on the show. And they were talking about how, like, oh, yeah, you know, a lot of the songs that were on the show were written by Jeff and that, you know, in the writer's room and blah, blah, blah. And One of them happened to mention, oh, yeah, that's because his uncle was Richard Sherman, one of these guys that wrote a lot of the songs for Disneyland. I was like, oh, wait a second, what? And then he had my attention, right? Because apparently this writer on Boy Meets World was related to the Sherman brothers. And the reason it all kind of felt full circle as I was listening to this episode is because, Andrew, do you want to talk about this news alert that we're supposed to be aware of? Because I couldn't find anything to validate it.
Wee woo. But yeah, so I follow some... I'm probably the most active on Facebook out of all of us just because... I run some Facebook pages for a couple of places I work and things. So I'll browse Facebook pretty often, and now it won't open for me, which is fun. But let's see. Let me try to open.
We're going to call this an anonymous post.
Open.
Just to make it mysterious.
Yes, but it won't open. Anywho, this post from some Facebook group has some... Why won't it open?
Oh.
Hold on. Hold on. One more time. I'm going to try one more time. Doot, doot. Close enough. News alert. Wee woo, wee woo. That's the news alert. Please share is what this is called. The It's a Small World attraction could soon feature new lyrics written by Disney legend Richard M. Sherman.
Okay, now, before we continue with this.
Uh-huh.
Think about what that headline says. It's a small world to include new lyrics to an attraction that's been essentially the exact same for 60 years. Or almost 60 years. We're going on 60 at this point.
No, 60 years yesterday from the World's Fair.
Yeah. Okay, so 60 years from the World's Fair. At Disneyland, obviously, we're... What, 2 or 3 years
two,
away?
Two more years.
Two more years? Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I guess 60 years from the World's Fair. So now, It's a Small World is one of those attractions. Now, again, before we continue, I just want to make it very clear that this post that Andrew sent to us, that was the headline of the post, right? And then they go on to explain, you know, where it came from and stuff like that. But... people complain about It's a Small World and the music all of the time. Primarily the music, how it's an earworm and it like it's annoying to people and blah blah blah. Would first of all, where do you fall on that, and how would you feel about them changing the lyrics 60 years later?
I don't have a problem with the music. I actually like it. I could zone out if I needed to, but I like it. The only thing I was wondering is if they change the lyrics, does that mean that my Small World doll, because I have one, is that a limited edition thing now? Or what do I call it?
It's a collector's item.
Does the doll sing a song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, my guess is it's just going to be like a verse. Or
probably.
Whatever, like, it'll be, like, it'll just go in, it's a world, oh, after a world, and then they'll be like, it's
like
a world of
word.
Tacos, a world of cheese, and a thing, and burritos,
it's
and, you
a
know,
world
whatever.
Of tacos and a world of cheese?
He's just got
I love those lyrics.
I can write any kind of song. I can write a Sherman Brothers song, I can write a Taylor Swift song, you name it, I'm writing it. So that would be my guess. I mean, I'm interested to hear what it is. Like I'm not opposed to it. I mean, they've toyed with It's a Small World in the past. I mean, nothing is 100% sacred at Disneyland. How do I want to put this? You know, Pirates of the Caribbean, it's still there as an attraction, but is not nearly anywhere close to what it was as opening day. The same thing goes with the Haunted Mansion. The same thing goes with a lot of attractions that are at Disneyland. So I think the core of the attraction is still there, and the mission and the, you know, the, like what they're trying to accomplish is there, and they've upgraded and stuff. Small World, you know, the song has stayed the same, and the, you know, animatronics and scenes and stuff have changed and updated and moved around over the years. So it'd be interesting to, I'm sure people would welcome a new beat, those people that are very against the earwormy-ness of the repetitiveness of It's a Small World, having a new verse might help them out a little bit, make them reappreciate the attraction a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you would hope, at least, right?
One would hope. Dream. But then there are going to be people that's like, that's not my It's a Small World.
Yeah, I was about to say that, that there's going to be the people that are like, how dare they change it after all these years? And those were probably the same people that were like, I hate this song. How dare they? Like,
and they also haven't been to Disneyland in 25 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're just writing about it on Facebook.
Let's suppose that this was true, right? Because the article, do you remember what the article said about how they heard about it and where this idea came from?
I can summarize this. It's written by a source that I've gotten good information for in the past, the author of this. So I'm not, it's not like, I don't think 100% hogwash, but just, you know, wait and see what happens. But it says there was a gold nugget of news that came out of a special program at the Walt Disney Family Museum featuring cousins Jeffrey and Greg Sherman talking about their songwriting fathers, Walt's boys, the Sherman brothers, Robert B. and Richard M. It says, during their extremely entertaining multimedia presentation, Richard's son Greg revealed that his dad had written a new verse for It's a Small World. Bob Iger apparently liked the new lyrics and saw an opportunity to update the soundtrack in honor of the attraction's 60th anniversary. And this, it says, it didn't report on this. The guy's talking about, he didn't report on back then. This event happened in November of last year. It says it's not been officially confirmed by the company. The quote from, Jeff said, Dad wrote the new lyrics last year, 2023, and submitted them to Bob Iger personally, who has the only copy in existence. It's a brand new verse that takes the song, originally written during the Cold War in the early 60s, to current day and beyond, always conscious that it's a prayer for peace and that children are the hope of the future, after all. It says, the plan is to unveil the new verse at the D23 Expo in August, along with some new global initiative to raise awareness of UNICEF. I guess according to this, we'll find out at the D23 Expo. So we just have a little bit to wait.
Well, I'm not on Facebook as often as you are, but if you're saying that where the source of this is someone that you've gotten other news from that seems to have been correct, then I guess we'll have to wait until the D23 Expo to know if it was 100% true, right? Because I tried to search for this and see if there was anyone else reporting on it, because if this was at a Walt Disney Family Museum event, right, you would figure that more vloggers or people would write about it and talk about, because that's big news.
That
right?
is.
Right? Unless they said, hey, don't say anything about this, and he just happened to write about it, just didn't listen to them during the presentation. But we weren't there. I believe his post talks about how it was like at the end of last year when he
November.
Attended this thing.
November.
Yeah, November. So, I mean, I couldn't find anything to validate it, but I thought it was an interesting idea, whether it's true or not. I mean, if they change the lyrics, he talks about in the post how it's like a refresh of current day. And the one thing that popped into my mind was the rewrite of We Didn't Start the Fire that Fallout Boy did, like to refresh that song to make it current. I'm like, oh, they're going to add all sorts of new Disney stuff to
Taylor Swift, Obama.
So, I mean, I guess we'll see at the D23 Expo. I want to throw the question out to everybody listening. How do you feel about potentially getting brand new lyrics for It's a Small World? Is it a welcome change, or are they ruining a classic by adding additional lyrics? Because the more that I thought about this, the more I felt like, how cool would it have been if it wasn't necessarily new lyrics, but it was like lost lyrics or original lyrics from the, when they were first workshopping the song. And then Richard Sherman was like, you know what? This applies to modern day. What if we added this to the song? And then Bob Iger agreed to it, right? So it's a little bit of history with a little bit of modern. So I don't know. It just, I like that version of the story. I feel like that's the story that I want to stick to.
Mm-hmm.
Until I hear what the official story is, because this is just kind of what we heard secondhand from an event. I'm sure at D23 we'll get more information if this turns out to be true. But yeah, tell us how you feel about this change to It's a Small World. And, you know, would you like it? Is it a welcome change? Because I want to see Baby Groot and friends at It's a Small World. Can we get that? Can we get Baby Groot?
Maybe.
Marvel and Friends. It's small.
I just asked ChatGPT to write It's a Small World, but about cell phones.
Oh, jeez.
But they didn't do a very good job because it doesn't fit with the music.
Oh. Well, keep trying.
It's a cell phone world, after all. In our pockets, they stand tall. Texting friends both near and far. Connecting us wherever we are.
I mean, wow. It's not horrible.
That's
for ChatGPT.
Yeah. From sunrise until
now,
twilight,
now
cell
tell
phones
it.
Glow with a gentle light. Snap a
you
picture
heard it here
of
first.
You, capturing moments old and new. It's a cell phone world after all. What am I asking it to do now?
I ask it to write It's a Small World version of Disneyland Churros.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
This is going to be interesting.
This is going to be fun.
Everybody.
It goes, sure. In a land of magic and delight, where dreams come true both day and night, there's a treat that steals the show with a taste that makes our hearts glow. Churros at Disneyland, oh, what a sight. Churros
yes!
at
wow!
Disneyland, oh, what a sight. Golden brown and crispy and sweet delight. In every corner, around every bend, churros bring joy that never ends. Lots of extra words
that's
in there.
That's a good
from
speech.
Copyright Pocketeers.
From Main Street to Adventureland, in every land they're close at hand. Cinnamon, sugar, and heavenly blend. With every bite, a journey begins. Churros at Disneyland.
Can I put this on
a
shirt?
Site.
For real, right?
Yeah.
Here's
is gold.
Here's the bridge. I didn't know It's a Small World had a bridge. As we stroll through this
all?
Place, churros
there
put
is
a
just
smile
one,
on your face.
And one golden moon, yeah.
Oh, as we stroll through this mad... Ah, yeah, screw it.
See, we would be okay with new
please
songs.
Send
okay.
me these lyrics.
Yes,
now
yes.
I want to learn
here
it.
Here we go. We'll record
that was
this.
Fantastic. Listen, for like a ChatGPT... on the spot lyrics and you picking up the tune and singing it on the spot, that was amazing.
So as we bid farewell to this magical day, churros in hand, we'll find our way. That doesn't fit in the hearts of Disneyland where dreams unfurl. Churros bring magic to this small world. That's the final verse.
I mean, it sounds great. I like it. So now... You've worked on Taylor Swift songs.
The reason I had this up was I was asking it to write a Taylor Swift song about a podcast, but then it wouldn't make the tune right, so I didn't do that.
Maybe
I
it's just
because it.
You didn't know the tune. I know. I might know a guy that knows.
You're
the
on
that
your
might
headphone scrolling through the feed, searching for a story that you really need, but you don't know what. You're gonna find till you press play and leave the world behind in the tales they tell and the laughter we share in the podcasting
wow.
world. We're both there and I'm tangled up in the stories they spin in this digital world where we both fit in. Oh, in this podcast, I don't know. I lost the tune. So anyway,
I mean, you were doing great.
You were.
Oh, in this podcast, you belong with me listening to tales Under the same tree, whispers of truth, echoes of grace. In this audio space, we've found our place. Anyway, that's the Taylor Swift.
So if you listen to Podketeers tonight. Okay, never mind. I was going to add our own spin on it, but send me those lyrics too.
All right, I'll just copy this whole thing. I'll put it in our.
That's fantastic. I'll put it in something. It. Let's see.
We're going to talk about something else that's important and newsworthy and not about ChatGPT lyrics, right?
I mean,
and Taylor Swift.
That was pretty fun.
I kind of okay. liked it. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun.
So, let's go from
just call
it's
me
a
Elton
small
John
world
with these lyrics here.
Let's go from the to totally opposite spectrum of It's a Small World to the latest trailer from Marvel, and that is the new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine. What's the official name? Because it's not
Deadpool and Wolverine. I think
it is Deadpool and Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this trailer, unlike the last one that we featured on the podcast, is not family friendly.
It is
the other one
a message.
Was. Yeah, it was very family friendly when we got the first one. But this one, I think Andrew said it best when you said, do you remember what you said about it?
I think I said, I think they're trying to assure the audience that this is an R-rated movie.
Yes.
Oh, yes. In many ways, though. More ways than one. Oh, yeah.
There is innuendo after innuendo. There
out-uendo.
Are F-bombs. Yes, out-uendos, in-between-endos, Nintendos, all sorts of tendos. There's F-bombs all over the place.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things that are not very child-friendly. But there's – I actually like this. Right, because there's something about Deadpool that's always been appealing, and it's the snarkiness, it is the elevated language that makes the character that character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really early on, I think a lot of people were really concerned that once Disney got a hold of Deadpool, that they were going to change the character, and in a term that's used widely across the internet when it comes to stuff like this, that they were going to Disney-fy the character, right? And make him a lot more docile, so to speak. So I think this trailer just squashed that.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody that thought that was going to happen to good old Wade is wrong because it's a trip.
Well, also, too, Feige actually dropped an F-bomb, which is awesome. It's like, you don't hear, like, people high up in Disney, you know, whatever they're doing. You don't hear anyone do that. So for him to do that, he was already setting the example. Huh?
Okay. When did this happen? Because I did not hear this.
No, I read this. Like, when he was presenting
it. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, when they
yeah.
This is amazing.
So
I had no idea.
When they did the pre-screening and nobody could take pictures or video, but he did drop an F-bomb. So
that was cool.
I was like, yes.
Yeah. Because you're right. Like upper management, especially on that high of a level, they don't tend to speak like that in public, right? They always have a lot more professional demeanor when they speak about the projects that they're working on.
Yep.
But I love in the trailer, there's a reference to Kevin Feige that I love because they make a drug reference. And then Wade turns around. I forgot who he's talking to, but he's like, "No, Papa Feige said that's off limits." And then they talk about it using a street phrase for the same drug. And he's like, "No, they know all of those words. They know how the references to it. Those are off limits too." I don't know. It's so meta. And it keeps true to the character of Wade Wilson. It keeps true to the character of Deadpool. Hugh Jackman, I think, does a fantastic job as Wolverine. I mean, mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't think we were expecting any less from him, right? But so far, just in the trailers, there's some funny moments between the two of them. Definitely an adult film. But now my favorite greeting because of that trailer is, "Hey, Peanut." Like I just want to say hi to everybody. That way it's like, "Hey, hi, Peanut."
So
I don't want what you're selling, lady.
So in this trailer too, not only do we get what we just spoke about, but can we talk about Ant-Man and how morbid? Yeah. Morbid that is.
It's like a cave entrance, right?
Yeah.
Or like a headquarters or hideout or something.
Headquarters would be a good pun.
You're right. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, man.
Without even thinking. I mean, there's so many things about the trailer that make sense now that I look back on the original trailer,
mm-hmm.
right? And some of the things that we were just kind of speculating about, because there are elements of, you know, like obviously the other films and everything, they directly talk about how in this film or the variant that Wade picks up failed, like the Wolverine failed his universe, right? So we're going to find out how that happened and everything as part of the film. But man, there's so much to digest in this one, and a lot of it revolves, like there's so many, maybe can we play it without the audio?
Yes.
No, I'm just going to put a link. I'm going to put a link, okay. Let people talk about it.
There's lots of also yes, but gore and blood in the trailer.
Yeah,
I
mean, it is a lot less tame than the other one is. So you're right. So we'll put a link if you want to watch the trailer, or you can go on the Tubes of the U, search for the trailer. It's available there. But I'm excited for this one.
So I looked up to try and find it says, from Doctor Strange to a nod to Dark Ant-Man cameo, here's every Easter egg in the Deadpool 3 trailer.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
So the first one says, Wolverine game. It says, when you first see him in the bar, it says a character being in a bar is hardly a shocker. He's been known to frequent such establishment in the big screen. But the framing and backdrop is undeniably similar to that seen in Marvel and Insomniac's Wolverine game tease, which is interesting. It says Deadpool's gun. You can read on his muzzle of the gun. It says smile, wait for the flash, which is a callback to Deadpool 2. It says the Wrexham star. It says in the same scene, you've got a really good eyesight. Football fans might have spotted the Wrexham star. Ollie Palmer in the background. Deadpool actor Ryan Reynolds owns the Welsh Club alongside Rob McElhenney. And then it says there's a Doctor Strange portal that they jump through.
Yeah,
Ant-Man's cool. Big Ant-Man head, or big giant dead Ant-Man.
yeah.
Where they go through his skeleton mouth.
Yeah. Now I'm not going to forget that, the headquarters reference.
It says an X-Men's Lady Deathstrike and Azazel, which I don't know who they are. It says eagle-eye viewers can see two X-Men at the forefront of the frame. Lady Deathstrike, who is played by Kelly Hu in X2, and Azazel, who appears in X-Men First Class. Cassandra Nova.
Professor X's sister.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's this bald lady. And it says Deadpool co-creator Rob Liefeld's shout out. Ryan calls me and says, "Rob, we have this joke. I want to run it by you. Please share me your thoughts." That's not the joke. That's what he said. What's the joke? One of the shops is called Liefeld's, and seems to be some sort of podiatry place.
That's funny.
It says we can only assume it's a joke about how illustrator would Liefeld would frequently botch his character's feet in Marvel Comics. That says Loki's Alioth. I don't know what Loki's Alioth. Alioth.
Oh, the smoky.
Oh, is that the
temporal,
cloud monster?
Yeah, the trans-temporal entity or smoke monster that you see from Loki season 1. It says Wolverine's World. We can see Wolverine more self-critical when it comes to hero. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know what this is. It says then there's a Mad Max Fury Road nod where he's like, you know, riding motorcycles or something.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
There's, okay. So there was something I've noticed because I've been watching X-Men 97. I can't say, but I feel like the way that they're timing that show right now with the trailer, I didn't know that other people could do portals. I only thought it was a certain amount. So I was like, oh, maybe that'll happen. Maybe it'll be this person, considering how they're just bringing all these different characters and whatnot, trying to like make sure that everything works from now on, or if it like going forward. So if you haven't seen it, I'd say watch it, because it kind of gives you like some idea of like different people or different mutants and whatnot. So yeah, there may be a connection of some sort. I don't know, but I did learn something new. So
nice.
Yeah, definitely watch it if you haven't. It's
I have not yet.
Really
I haven't had time. I still haven't watched Andor. I haven't watched all kinds of stuff. I haven't watched Echo. I'm all behind.
Echo.
I'm just trying to watch Young Sheldon over here.
I'm trying to get through the middle right now.
He's not young anymore. He's like old Sheldon. He's like middle-aged Sheldon now.
Didn't the show ended, right?
It's on its final season.
It's right final
now,
season.
Young Sheldon. I don't know what happened with Young Rock either. Did that get canceled?
I think it got canceled. Yeah,
let's see.
I don't think it ever
The came series
back.
Is canceled after three seasons. I watched all three seasons of Young Rock.
Yeah.
I also found this article that says Deadpool and Wolverine trailers shatters records for most F-bombs than entire MCU combined. So the trailer has 6 F-bombs in the trailer, and that is the most recorded of any trailer in any Marvel movie, MCU or not.
By Disney.
By anyone,
by any Marvel film, so that includes the Fox X-Men films to Netflix thing, anything.
That is amazing.
It says, according to reports, it's officially the most profanity laden trailer in Marvel history, encompassing everything from Fox X-Men universe to Netflix's Marvel shows and beyond. With 6 in 2 minutes and 39 seconds is pretty often.
I wonder what the rest of the film is going to look like.
Those are the 6. They included them all.
I mean, they could take advantage of it, because in order for it to be PG-13, you can drop 1.
Correct. This is
R. And then and for rated R, it's just completely like fair game. Like,
yeah,
you
language
use it many
is,
times.
Yeah,
like, it literally can be every word in your sentence, and they would just let it go.
And it could
so,
be.
Yeah, I mean, will they take advantage of it? Who knows? But knowing how much they wanted to hammer it home in the trailer, I wouldn't doubt them doing the same, like, in the film where, like, he and Wolverine get into, like, a screaming match, and they're just saying that word. It's like, F, 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 because they're angry at each other, and for, like, 2 minutes straight, they're just dropping it. I wouldn't put it past them to do something like that just for the humor of it all. But, man, I'm looking forward to this film.
One more thing before we finish.
Yeah.
Aw. So I've never seen this Easter egg before, and I just happened to just see this article. There's an Iron Man Easter egg, and I have no idea where it's from. So I'm going to send the link, and maybe you know what it is, Hazen, because I'm like, right. I have no idea. No idea.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Dun, da, da, da.
This is an article from comicbook.com. Mm-hmm.
It's a car. Why is it so zoomed in on my thing? Jeepers, creepers. Is that really zoomed in on yours? No, it's just like, no, it was just like at 150% for some reason.
Oh, boy.
On my browser.
I think the little car, the car has like a little Iron Man head as the hood ornament.
Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Yeah, I don't think, I think the only reference is the fact
I see it.
It's got the little hood ornament. I don't think the car is a reference.
Yeah, it's this is a Mad Max. This is that Mad Max scene. So, yeah, it's probably just they're trying to include as many things as possible would be my guess.
Okay, that could be.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure. I'm like, what is this? Where did I miss it?
But this car, a unique hood ornament, rather seeing a Hydra logo seen on the Red Skull's car, this car is a hood ornament of Iron Man's mask on it. Woohoo.
Howard Stark was a time traveler. This was his car.
It looks like an AI car if you look at it. It's got headlights behind headlights, but that's all the cars that looked like in Fury Road. They all look kind of weird.
Steampunky looking car.
Yeah.
I'd go for it. I'd drive that. All right. Well,
so here, before you wrap it up, I had ChatGPT write It's a Small World about Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
Goodness.
Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
All right, here we go. In a world of heroes, both bold and brave, two icons stand out, breaking every wave. One's a merc with a mouth, the other's claws of steel. Deadpool and Wolverine, a duel with no equal appeal. That's kind of clunky. Deadpool and Wolverine, an unlikely pair. With their wit and strength, they make quite a pair. From chimichangas to adamantium claws. In the Marvel Universe, they're the ultimate applause. Deadpool cracks jokes, breaking the fourth wall, while Wolverine's brooding answers the call. One's immortal, the other's just tough, but together they're unstoppable. That's the truth, and it's missing some stuff. That's what it just says. That's the truth. Deadpool and Wolverine, unlikely pair. With their wit and strength, they make quite a pair. From chimichangas to adamantium claws, in the Marvel's universe, they're the ultimate applause. Let's see, what else we got? Through battles and banters, they forged a bond. In a world of mutants, they stand beyond. From X-Men to Deadpool's solo spree, in comic pages, they're forever free. They're missing the "It's a Small World After All" verse in every single one of these. I think I have to repeat the first
one. Repeat one of the lines.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world. So that's what I have to do. Well, no, because this is that's the bridge. This is the there's just through the battles and banters they forged a bond. In a world of mutants they stand beyond. From X-Men to Deadpool solo streak. In comic pages they're forever free. I figured it out. Anyway.
Imagine a small world.
So here's
two
Deadpool and Wolverine, a dynamic two in the vast Marvel combos. I screwed it up.
No, it's
anyway,
funky.
Deadpool and Wolverine in the small world is how it ends. So,
I'm glad that at one point they decided to correct course, because when it first wrote out his claws made of steel, I was like, no, they're not. And then eventually it wrote out adamantium claws.
Yes.
I was like, okay, we're good. We're good.
So when you were singing that, I'm thinking in my head, I'm on a boat. I'm going through Small World. It's overlay. And all you see is Deadpool and Wolverine just getting back at each other every single turn.
Oh, my gosh. That imagine turning into one of the dark corridors that leads you into a new land. And you see Deadpool pop out, like he's like popping like up and down, like diagonally. Uh-huh. And every time he pops up, he's like, hey, Peanut. And then he goes back. You go past him. Ah, oh, I'm loving it. We're giving them a new attraction. I know they don't want to bring Marvel and Friends, but Deadpool and Wolverine on It's a Small World.
It would sell on Genie Plus.
Right? Right. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Any final thoughts on anything we talked about? Any Taylor Swift songs you want to sing before we wrap it up, Andrew?
Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. What's that one? What's the one with the goats? I know that screaming goat song.
Trouble.
And a whole carb down. No.
Trouble.
Trouble. I know that one too. There we go.
I mean, you said that you're not a fan, that you're not a Swiftie yourself, but you seem to know all the lyrics to all of the songs.
I guess maybe on. I'm also a Swiftie.
All right. On that note, it's time to wrap it up for this week. So remember, podcasters.com/links is where you can go to find some of our most asked about links. We have the latest episode on there, a link to the Quizneyland playlist, link to anything that we're raising money for at the time for Team Boat Willie, a link to the FGP squad, a link to our Discord if you want to join our community. You can also find a link to our YouTube channel and to Larry's YouTube channel, Goofy Guys Adventures. Make sure that you head on over there and click on that subscribe button. Ring that little bell icon for notifications whenever new videos are added to the channel. And quick note, on our YouTube channel, because we've been posting these episodes, the channel was just kind of sitting there for quite some time. We are building up our subscriber count, and we are currently up to 486. So if you can help us reach 500, awesome. That would be amazing, because once we hit 500, I think we're able to live stream on mobile or something like that, or maybe that's Instagram. I don't remember.
Ding
the point
that
is we're trying
dinger,
to get to 500.
Smash the smashing.
Exactly.
Flip
smashy,
it.
Smashy.
Twist it. Lock it.
Bop,
bop it.
Lock
yeah.
it.
Tell your friends.
Drop it. I don't whatever
drop
you got to do.
So
lean
on
back,
that note,
I don't know what we're talking about.
Lean back. Bop it. Clop it.
That
I don't
know.
Kind
of hurts. Lean back.
Whatever it is. So that's it. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep moving forward, and always remember to pass on the magic. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Part of the Podcasters Network.